This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we're going to begin today with a troubling question that is too often asked about the criminal justice system. Did it send the wrong man to jail? Supporters of Darrell Jones say in his case the answer is yes. Jones was convicted of murder 30 years ago, but insists he is innocent and is seeking a new trial. He was convicted back in 1986, even though he didn't match the description of the murderer. Not a single eyewitness could identify him in the courtroom, and a key piece of evidence was allegedly tampered with. Furthermore, one of the jurors in the case claims that the jury was racially biased against Jones because he was black. WBUR senior reporter Bruce Gellerman has been following this story, including dramatic testimony in a Fall River courtroom yesterday. And Bruce joins us now. Good to have you, Bruce.
Thank you, Anthony.
So there was this hearing yesterday in Fall River. But tell us first about the juror who you tracked down, who's made a pretty dramatic claim about jury bias more than 30 years ago.
Let me explain here. In yesterday's hearing, essentially, Anthony, the original jury was on trial. Lawyers before, during, and after a trial can't contact jurors. I was originally investigating this case, and it seems reporters can. And so I did. I went down the jury list and from the 1986 trial. And the first one I found on the list was Eleanor Urbati. I called her up. I went to her house and just kind of turned on my recorder. And she started telling me about the case, that after 9 days of trial testimony, the jury began deliberations. And she said at the very start, the jurors took a poll. It was an all-white jury, and most said that Jones was innocent. But according to Urbati, two men said they thought that Jones was guilty.
And I said, how come you have a decision already? I said, is it because he's black? And they said, yes. They said, yes, the two men. How do you like that? I remember this like it was yesterday. I don't know how, but I do. That's exactly what they said.
So Darrell Jones's attorney seized on this because earlier this year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that racial discrimination by jurors can be grounds for a new trial. And so his lawyers filed a motion asking the judge to hold a hearing and quiz the original jurors.
Interesting. So did this come up at yesterday's hearing in Fall River?
Yeah, the lawyers found 8 jurors and they sent them summonses and 3 showed up, but here's the thing, Anthony, not Urbati.
Not Urbati, the woman we just heard from.
Right. And of course, her testimony, you know, could have been pivotal to the defense.
So what happened? Why didn't she show up in court, or why wasn't she summoned, or was she summoned?
Well, she seems to have been summoned. It's a very good question. After the hearing yesterday, I called her up and she told me she never got a summons to appear. But the defense attorneys tell me they, in fact, did send her one. But remember, they can't directly deal with her. They can't contact her directly. They can't talk to her. So, you know, it's you know, who knows why she didn't show up.
Interesting. So what about the other jurors who did show up? Did any of them confirm what Urbati told you about the jury's alleged racial bias of the jury?
Well, no. They're all elderly. Three decades, you know, memories fade. And even when it comes to something as important as being a juror in a first-degree murder trial. Anthony, here's an exchange between one of the original jurors. Her name was Maureen Bates. She had to be helped to the witness stand by bailiffs. She's elderly. And she spoke with Judge McGuire.
Do you remember pretty well?
I don't really remember. I've been trying to go through this in my mind.
Sure.
I don't remember any. I remember sitting there, but I don't remember. My memory
right.
isn't like,
no, that's
like
fine.
It used to be.
It's been a long time.
It has.
Been a long time. Now, it's important to point out here that this whole subject about possible jury bias came up because of your reporting, Bruce. So well done there.
Thanks.
But originally, this hearing was supposed to be about a key piece of evidence that had been allegedly doctored. Remind us what this is about.
Exactly. This was the fourth day. It was supposed to be a 2-day hearing that was limited to this crucial piece of evidence from the original trial. It was really the piece that sealed Darrell Jones's fate. It was a videotape made by a police detective as he interviewed an eyewitness to the murder. The tape had a bizarre edit right in the middle, right at the most dramatic part where she's telling, you know, the sergeant what she saw. There's a scene from Sergeant Bilko from the 1950s Army sitcom.
How strange.
Bizarre, really strange. The detective who made the tape testified in this hearing that he couldn't recall how the edit got there, but That contradicts what he said in the original trial when he testified that he pressed the wrong button while showing it to Jones's defense attorney back in 1986. And Jones's current lawyers had two expert witnesses testify, and they said that that edit couldn't have gotten there by accident.
And do we have any idea of what might have been edited out?
Ooh, well, we kind of do. There was another detective taking notes during the original taping, and those notes have only come to light now. And it seems that what was edited out could have been important in the original trial. We don't know exactly what was in there. Had juries seen it, but they didn't.
Right. So, Bruce, what happens next in this case? Where does it go from here?
Boy, I wish I could answer that. I'm not sure. And no one else really is, Anthony, because another unusual thing happened in court yesterday. Just as the judge was asking the attorneys what to do with the jurors who didn't show up, Durrell Jones stood up and spoke and kind of supervised everyone, even his own lawyers. And he told the judge that he didn't want to continue pursuing the issue of racial discrimination.
Please, Your Honor, I waive the issue. If I don't get out on that, then so be it. I waive it. But I'm not surrendering this little bit of sense of self I got that I know what happened in here and I can go to sleep and I can deal with it and the world know what happened in here. And I'm not looking for no technicality.
Strange, though. I mean, racial bias is hardly any technicality.
Right.
It seems like he's sort of throwing a wrench into the defense's case, or not.
You know, you're kind of right. It's hard to get into his mind. You know, he's frustrated. All he's wanted to do is be heard. And, mm-hmm. and now this is coming up in this technicality, what he calls a technicality. He wants to get to the crux of the matter. You know, in this case, yeah, you know, he'd have to make a formal withdrawal of his motion. And I spoke with him earlier today on the phone, and he feels really committed that this case be judged really on the facts of the original trial. I mean, put yourself in his position, you know. You could hear it in his voice. He's frustrated. He's mm-hmm. tired. He's been in prison for 30 years. He's serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole for a crime that he insists he didn't do. And so much of the testimony and evidence in the original trial is contradictory. It's weak. It's tainted. His trial, I got to tell you, Anthony, his trial was lacking in so many ways. Let me give you an example. You know, you cited some in the introduction. There was not one eyewitness who could ID Jones in court. Mm-hmm. All had described the assailant as 6 inches or a foot shorter than the victim, but Jones and the victim were just 1 inch apart. And, you know, I've got the photos lineups that show that. There was another man who was named as a suspect in the police investigative notes. He had a long rap sheet, but the police never even questioned him. And then halfway through the trial, we learned that the police officers who testified against Jones had all represented by the defense attorney, which was bizarre.
Hmm.
And then Jones's lawyer made no attempt to investigate the murder, and he later lost his law license for stealing a client's money. This is not just the system's finest day.
Right. Interesting. And of course, all of these defects that you described are often the elements of cases that go awry. We're not saying mm-hmm. necessarily that this one did, but mm-hmm. these are often the elements of that lead to convictions of people who are innocent.
I think, Anthony, it's a classic. I went in skeptical, but I'll tell you, this thing is really a poorly done trial.
Well, WBUR senior reporter Bruce Gellerman, you can link to his latest story as well to his 5-part series on Durrell Jones at our website, radioboston.org. Bruce, thanks so much.
You're welcome.